بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بالإحسان إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As you brothers know, this is the second class in the fasting series that we've been working on. Inshallah ta'ala, we're still trying to finish these before Ramadan starts. So have a little patience with us. In the last class, we talked about the definition of fasting. We talked about it in the language as well as Islamically. What exactly is fasting? What is it and what isn't it? We also talked about some proofs and evidences for the fact that fasting is something that is legislated in Islam. And we also talked in some detail about shara'it al-wujub al-siyam, about those things or those conditions that must be met before fasting is said to be an obligation on an individual. If any of you have missed the first class, like Muhammad, then you can get the recording from one of the brothers that actually recorded the dars. Today we're going to focus specifically on what is considered to be the fara'id of siyam, or the arkan of the siyam, those things that your siyam has to have in it. Now, the word fara'id, we've talked about this before. We know that fara'id is the jump for the word fard, or the word farida. And you know that farida means, or fard means, that it is something that is wajib. It's an obligation on an individual. It's something that someone has to carry out. Now, when we're talking about the fara'id of siyam, we're talking about those things that have to be there in order for your siyam to be considered to be mu'tabar, or so that your fasting is considered to be valid, so that you're fasting so that it counts. And again, these are called fara'id as-siyam, and that's the word up there on the board. Now, it's the jump for farida. That's it. طيب. Now, the fara'id of siyam. Now, you'll find that the ulama, or the scholars of Islam, they break these down into different numbers. Some of them say that there's two. Some of them say that there's four. Some of them say that there are different numbers. But what we want to do here is we're just going to break them down into two. The first of these is an-niyyah. And we're going to talk about niyyah in detail, or an individual's intention. This has to be there for your fast to be considered to be valid. And we're going to talk about it in some detail. And the second thing that we're going to talk about is al-imsak and al-muftarat min tulu' al-fajr hatta ghurub al-shams. And this is that you refrain from those things that break an individual's fast during the day, basically. Min tulu' al-fajr, from the time that Fajr comes in, hatta ghurub al-shams, until the sun sets or until Maghrib comes in. طيب, من طلوع الفجر حتى غروب الشمس. Now, and this is the second thing that your fast has to have in it to have your fast to be considered to be valid. Now, just as a little recap, we said that these two things are, or the way that we're breaking it down today, into these two categories. The first of them is niyyah, and the second one is that you stay away from those things that break your fast from the time that Fajr comes in until the time that Maghrib comes in. Now, we want to talk a little bit about niyyah in detail, so that we have an understanding not only on what our niyyah is, but we're going to talk about when you should make your niyyah. And we're also going to talk about how you make your niyyah, or with what you make your knee. Now, the first thing we want to discuss with you is the fact that your niyyah, or your intention, is something that is asasi, is fundamental in all of your actions. All of your ibadat, everything that you do, that you're doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to have an intention in it. And this is something that shouldn't be new, or this isn't a new issue to any of us. This is something that probably you have all memorized the Dalil for. And this comes from that very famous hadith on Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, when he said that he heard the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam say, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. This is where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said that verily deeds are based upon intentions, and every individual will have the reward for that which he has intended. So we see from this hadith that it is absolutely necessary that you have a niyyah, or an intention, in your actions in order for you to be rewarded for that particular deed or that particular action. And as you know, this hadith is muttafaq alayh. It was narrated by both Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim in their two sahihs. Now, with that being said, we want to talk a little bit about the mahal al-niyyah. We want to talk with you about where you make your intention at. Or where do you find your intention at? And we understand that the intention has to be made in the heart. There's no doubt about it, and no one's going to tell you otherwise. The intention, it has to be found in the heart. So it's not necessary for an individual to say, I'm intending to fast such and such a day, or I'm intending to fast this particular day of Ramadan, or I'm intending to fast whatever it is. Your intention is in your heart. You know why you're fasting. It's not something difficult, or the intention is not something that's difficult where you're going to become confused and things along these sorts. You just need to have an understanding of what you're doing and why you're doing it, who you're doing it for. Now, as far as the situation of when do you have to make your niyyah, and this is something that you hear a lot of different statements about, and we're going to try and clear up some of these statements for you right now. Now, you have some people that tell you that you have to make your niyyah at nighttime, before the daytime comes in, or before Fajr comes in, anywhere from night all the way up until when Fajr comes in. And then you have some scholars that say, okay, well, no, you only have to make your niyyah, you can make your niyyah during the course of the day. But what seems to be the most correct opinion is that you don't take either one of these opinions ala itlaqiha. That you don't just say, okay, I'm either going only with this opinion or going only with this opinion. But you'll find that many of the scholars, they separate between these two opinions. They say that if it is an obligatory salah, I'm sorry, if it's an obligatory fast, then you do what? Then you make your niyyah, or your intention, anywhere from that night before all the way up until Fajr comes in. But it has to be before Fajr comes in. If it's an obligatory fast, whether you're fasting for one of the days of Ramadan, or whether you took an oath, or what they call a nadhr, to fast a specific day, if any situation comes about and you're performing an obligatory fast, then you have to make your niyyah that night before all the way up until when? Now, up until the time that Fajr comes in. And again, this is for the obligatory fast. And there are many adillah, or many dalils, that point to this. Like the hadith of Aisha, where she says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yubayyit as-siyam qabla tulu' al-fajr fala siyama lah." This is where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that whoever does not make his niyyah that night before, and he hasn't made it before Fajr came in, then that person has no fast, or his fast is invalid. And you can find this hadith, it was narrated by Imam al-Bayhaqi in the Sunan al-Kubra. And you can also find it in the Sunan al-Dharqutni. And Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he said that this hadith is sahih. Now in this hadith, we see clearly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has not made their niyyah or made their intention before the fajr comes in, there is no fast for this individual. So here he clearly states and mentions before Fajr comes in. And yet we had just made a statement. We said it has to be from the time of the night before all the way up until Fajr. Where did we get the night before at? Well, there's a hadith of Hafsa, radiallahu ta'ala anha, where she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yubayyit as-siyam min al-layl." فَلَا سِيَامَ لَهُ. She said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that whoever did not make their niyyah the night before, then there is no fast for this individual. So when you put these two hadith together, we see that the fast has to be preceded by the niyyah the night before all the way up until Naam, all the way up until the Salat al-Fajr comes in. And inshallah ta'ala, that's clear. Now the second hadith we just talked about, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said specifically the night before, it was narrated by Abi Dawood, and again Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, he said that this hadith is sahih. So as we said a few minutes ago, this is the situation of the fard fast. The fast that you're doing that is an obligation. You have to make sure that you make your niyyah anywhere from the night before all the way up until Fajr comes in. Now, is this the same for this individual that's fasting a non-obligatory fast? No, it's not. This person can make their niyyah or make their intention during the day or during the morning of their fast, as long as they haven't eaten. And that's important. As long as they haven't eaten. And this is understood by another hadith by Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha, where she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, "Hal indakum shay'un?" Do you all have anything? So she said, "Ma indana shay." She said, "We don't have anything." So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he turned to her. He said, "Then in that case, I'm fasting. I'm going to be from amongst those people that are fasting, or I am from amongst those people that are fasting." So we see here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he was looking to get something to eat. And when he didn't find it, and he asked Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, "Is there anything here to eat?" She said, "No." He said, "Okay, then I'm going to be fasting. I'm going to fast for the rest of the day." And this hadith was narrated by Imam Muslim, by Abu Dawood, by Imam At-Tirmidhi, as well as An-Nasa'i. And there's another hadith that even strengthens this even more. And this is the hadith of Muawiyah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he said on the minbar to the people of Medina, he said, "سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول." He said that I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say, "اليوم هذا يوم عاشورا." He said that this day is the day of Ashura. "ولم يكتب علينا صيامه." And fasting for us was not made an obligation. He said, "And I am fasting. فمن شاء منكم فَلْيَصُومُ." He said, "And whoever from amongst you want to fast, then go ahead and fast." He said, "وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَفْتَرُ." He said, "And whoever from amongst you wants to, Then break his fast, or don't fast. Be of those people who aren't fasting. So here we see in this hadith as well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the people, he said, listen, as far as me right now, I'm fasting. So whoever from amongst you want to fast, then go ahead and fast for the rest of the day. And whoever of you that does it, then be of those people who aren't fasting. It's up to you, because of the fact that fasting on this day was not made an obligation upon us. And this hadith is, as you all probably already know, because we did this, we talked about this particular hadith in another class. It is narrated by both Imam al-Bukhari as well as, it is reported by Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. May Allah have mercy on both of them. Allahumma ameen. Now, I do want to bring up a point, because this is very important for us now, especially in a few days, inshallah ta'ala, Ramadan will have approached. Now, we talked about the niyyah. And anytime we want to fast, we need to make sure that we make our niyyah, if it's an obligatory fast, and we make it the night before all the way up until Fajr. And if it's a non-obligatory fast, and we find that we want to fast in the morning, and we say, okay, we're going to complete this day as an individual that has fasted, as long as we have not eaten or drinking or done one of those things that break an individual's fast to begin with. Now, when it comes to Ramadan, though, there are two different statements amongst the ulama about when you need to make your niyyah. The first of them says that your niyyah to fast for the beginning of the month is enough for you, it carries you through the month. And there's a second statement that says no. Rather, you need to make your niyyah every day. Every day you're going to fast, you need to make your niyyah that night before. Now, why is this? There are different ahadith and there are different statements from different ulama and things along these sorts, but the mas'ala, or the situation, or the issue here is what? Some of the scholars, they look at fasting as though it is something that is one ibadah all the way through. Fasting the month of Ramadan is one type of ibadah, or one piece of ibadah all the way through. All of the days of Ramadan is considered to be one piece of ibadah. Whereas you find other scholars that say no, but rather the month of Ramadan is one thing, and each day fasting is another ibadah. It's a bunch of days fasting. It's not just one big fast. And this is what seems to be the stronger of the two opinions, is that each day you fast, once you break your fast, you need to remake your niyyah that night to fast the next day. And then you break your fast that next night, and you make your niyyah that night to fast the day after. This is what seems to be the stronger of the two opinions. That before each day of Ramadan, you make your niyyah, or you renew your niyyah, or your intention, to fast that next day. And again, like we said, the whole of the issue, or the whole of the reason why the scholars differ in this, is because of the fact that some of them look at Ramadan to be one, or the fast of Ramadan to be one ibadah, or one long worship, and where other scholars, as we said, they look at it to be a bunch of different days of worship during the course of that particular month. I hope, inshallah ta'ala, that's clear. Like we said, the stronger of the two opinions seems to be that it is the second opinion, that you need to make your niyyah at the end of every night all the way up until Fajr comes in for that next day. Now, we're done pretty much with the niyyah, what I wanted to talk to you about as far as the niyyah, or the intention. And we said that from the obligatory acts, or the obligatory things that need to be there in order for your fast to be valid, was your Nia and something else. And as we said, this something else is Al-Imsak Al-Muftirat Min Tulu Al-Fajr Hatta Ghurub Al-Shams, that you stay away from, or that you forbid yourself from, all of those things that cause you to break your fast from the time that Fajr comes in all the way until the time that the sun sets or when Maghrib starts. And there are four major things that you need to make sure that you stay away from. There are a lot of things that you should stay away from, and inshallah we'll take everything piece by piece. But in this particular section here about the imsak, we're going to talk about four things. The first of them is staying away from eating. The second of them is staying away from drinking. The third of them is staying away from sexual relations. All of these things being done on purpose. And the fourth of them, which also we're going to talk about if it's done on purpose, which is vomiting. Now, even though we didn't start in this particular order, we're going to actually start with the end of what we talked about. This is al-jima' aw al-wadh. Now, the reason why we're doing this is because we're going to try to use one eye and make it easier on all of you to memorize. And it's just that the sexual relations is what the ayah starts out with. So we're going to start out with there, and then we're going to go back to the beginning of the list. Now, this ayah is in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 187. And in this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he starts it off by saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. أهل لكم ليلة الصيام أو رفض إلى نسائكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he starts off talking here about the fact that the nights in which you're fasting, or the nights that you fast, that it is permissible for you to go to your wives in a sexual manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says here that they are a covering for you, and you are as well a covering for them. عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَخْتَنُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَعَفَ عَنْكُمْ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says something that we're going to clarify, we're going to explain. But he says that Allah knows that verily you used to put yourselves in front of some punishment, or make yourselves justifiably punishable. But then Allah Ta'ala, he turns back to you, and he has pardoned you for your sins. Now this is because they say that in the beginning, fasting used to start, or the people used to start their fasts when they went to sleep. So from the time that they went to sleep at night all the way up until that next night, until Maghrib came in, this was the time in which people would consider themselves to be fasting. And what would happen is that some people sometimes would go to sleep early, and they'd wake up and then they'd want to go to their wives, and they couldn't. Because as we said a minute ago, their fast, they started once they went to sleep. So once this started happening, the people started going to their wives anyway at nighttime. It got back to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and then they said that this is why this particular part of the ayah was revealed. Well, not just this, but the part that comes after it as well. And then Allah Ta'ala, he says, فَالْآنْ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. He says, so now, have your relations with your wives, and seek that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. Because don't forget, in our days and times, people look at this relationship that happened between the husband and the wife as though it's just something that's solely pleasurable. But people used to, as well, have these relations for the fact or for the purpose of having children as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go ahead, do what you do, and seek that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. So we see here in this part of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's explaining that it is permissible for you to have these relations with your wives. And here he's specifically talking about at nighttime. And you're going to see why I'm stressing this at nighttime right now. Because in a little while he's going to restrict what you can do during the daytime. But you understand here, this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the fact that at nighttime it is permissible for you to have these relations with your wives, because of the fact that during the daytime you can't do that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about in the next part of this ayah, he says, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ الْخَيْطَ الْأَبْيَضِ مِنَ الْخَيْطَ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he explains about the permissibility of having these relationships with your wives at nighttime, he says, and as well, eat and drink all the way up until the point of al-khayt al-abyad, or the light of the daytime, becomes distinct from al-khayt al-aswad, the darkness of the night, at the time of fajr. ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ السِّيَامِ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. He said, and then complete the fast until the night. He says, and then leave off these things all the way up until the night comes again. And what are these things that he was just talking about in this ayah? He was talking about these relations between the husband and the wife. He was talking about eating, and as well he was talking about drinking. This is the part that I was talking about. This is the part I was talking about that you should memorize as a proof for leaving off those three things that we just talked about during the daytime. And the fact that it's a proof because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it's permissible at night, and then once the daytime comes, you complete the fast until the nighttime comes again. But then Allah, he continues the ayah, he says, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاقِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and do not have these relations with your wives while you are making itikaf in the masajid. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. And these are the restrictions or the boundaries that are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. He says, so don't come close to them. He didn't say don't do them. He said don't come close to them. كذلك يبين الله آياته للناس لعلهم يتقون. He says, and this is the way that Allah, he explains his verses to the people so that they can be amongst those people who have taqwa, or those people who have fear of him. And again, we said that this ayah is ayah number 187 in Surah Al-Baqarah. And inshallah ta'ala, that's clear as far as the fact that we need to stay away from those three things we mentioned a minute ago, eating, drinking, and these relations between the husband and wife, and make sure that we do not do these things on purpose while we're fasting. Because these are things that we have to stay away from while we're fasting in order for our fast to be considered to be accepted. As well as this other thing that we were talking about, this al-qay' amdan, or vomiting amdan, or on purpose. And we know that we need to stay away from doing this, because this is from amongst those things that are also called al-muftarat lis-sawm, or these are those things that break an individual's fast. And inshallah, this is what we'll talk about next class in more detail. We just wanted to point out that these two things, this imsak and as well as the niyyah, have to be there in order for our fasting to be considered to be acceptable. Now, the proof that we're bringing about the fact that purposely vomiting is one of the things that we need to stay away from is that hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, when he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, من ذرعه القيع, or the one who القيع, or vomiting, has overtaken him, has overpowered him. And in another riwayah, it says, وَهُوَ صَائِمٌ, and he's fasting, obviously, while he's fasting. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, فليس عليه القضاء. Then this person does not have to make up this day's fast. He says, ومن استقاع عمدا فليقضي. He says, and the one who vomits on purpose or tries to vomit on purpose, then he has to make up this day's fast. So we see here, if there's no reason for the person to have to make up the fast if his fast is valid. This only happens when it's considered to be something that breaks an individual's fast. So this is why the Prophet ﷺ said the person who does it on purpose, then he has to make up this day. His fast is no good. This is why this is from amongst those things you need to stay away from. But understand that the person who vomiting overtakes him, they do it involuntarily or involuntarily, then this person does not have to make up the fast. This person's fast is still considered to be intact. And this hadith is narrated by Abu Dawood as well as Imam al-Tirmidhi. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah as well said that this hadith is sahih. So, this is all of what we wanted to talk about today. We wanted to talk about those things that your fast has to have in them in order for it to be acceptable. And this was, as we said, a million and one times today. An-niyyah and al-imsak and al-muftirat min tulu al-fajr hatta ghurub al-shams. And this is the intention, as well as leaving off those things that break an individual's fast from the time that Fajr comes in all the way until the time the sun goes down. And inshallah, like we said a minute ago, in the next class, inshallah, we're going to be going through some of those things that break an individual's fast so that we can differentiate between those and things that don't actually break your fast. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and accept from us our fast. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.